My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
We're back. Quick turnaround. Back-to-back podcasts for back-to-back races. Although, actually, they usually are back-to-back podcasts between races. But don't let that worry you or affect you or affect me. We'll just skim over that. We're not going to edit it out. I don't like editing.
No.
It's a job for fools.
Oh, he's dug himself a hole there, hasn't he?
Says the man who has to edit his own podcast and, and videos. Yes. Anyway, moving swiftly on. Ped's here.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
It's good to be back. It's good to have another race so quickly after the last one, isn't it?
I know. It's
wonderful.
No waiting. You don't want to wait around for these things,
no,
do you?
No.
John Luton doesn't want to wait around for these things, do you, John?
No, I'm looking forward to Bahrain this weekend.
Haha, comes around proper quickly.
Well, I'll jump in here and say I don't think anyone's really looking forward to Bahrain, but yes. I think we're all looking forward to a race.
Yeah. This is my question. Yeah. Is it still a dull track? If a track's dull, is it always dull?
Yes.
Are we going to get a dull race? Last year's race wasn't bad.
Actually, it wasn't too bad.
Wasn't bad for Bahrain.
Bahrain and Valencia are the two that, you know, they're the small tracks, and we know that. But it's all topsy-turvy. You know, we've got people pulling out fantastic drives. The Mercs are quick this year, which they weren't last year. Force Indias are looking strong. You've got mid-carders putting in good performances. And the one thing that we know about Bahrain is it's not very punishing to anyone who strays off track. So you're not going to get people jammed up in gravel pits. So people may run wide, drop a few places to a few cars. You may then see them having to battle their way through. So although in many ways it's, you know, not very punishing to the driver, it does mean that they can push that little bit extra, and they don't worry that if they stray offline, they can come back on. So in that respect, it's a benefit to be on that track. But in many other ways, it's a bit of a snore fest.
So what you're saying is that Nico Rosberg is still free to try and run people into walls?
Oh, so, yeah, always. Yeah, I think that's Nico's prerogative.
Pirelli have changed the tyre compounds, I think, for this race. They were running with the soft, and I think they've knocked it back to the medium so that they don't disintegrate in the heat, which is probably a good idea.
You see, the thing is, part of me wishes it did disintegrate in the heat, just to kind of see if it would excite things up a bit, because of, you know, there is the two sides of the tyre argument. There's a how much do you let the tyres degrade that makes it exciting, and how much makes it so that people run one lap on a set of tyres, like what Webber did in the last race, where, you know, did one lap on the soft and then put the medium on for the rest of the race. It's so...
Which, by the way, still strikes me as stupid. I mean, you might as well at least do three laps on it or something. I can't see the benefit of only doing one, but...
Well, I think the theory was that he knew then, because he knew that some other people were possibly going to be coming in after three laps, he knew that he would pit, have the medium tyre, and then he'd have free space on the track and he wouldn't have to worry about, you know, getting stuck. They wanted to have more free air, but...
Okay, maybe two laps then. Could have got two laps out. But yeah, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? Is you're trying to undercut everyone. Are we getting a pattern of how this is going? Or are we going to, you know...
The season?
Yeah.
No.
Too soon.
Too soon to talk about patterns. I don't think we're going to have as many race winners as we did last year. I think that we are going to see a repeat much sooner. I think it will probably come at this race, personally.
My stomach.
We don't know if the microphone picked that up, but Michael's stomach has just grumbled quite loud.
Louder
the things
than
that
Sebastian
we forego
Vettel.
To bring you these podcasts. Michael hasn't eaten in a week, people.
No.
A whole week.
Tell me about it.
I think we're going to see a repeat winner much quicker than we did last year. Last year was great, but it was fairly unprecedented. You know, people like Pastor Maldonado, he's not going to win a race this year.
So surely we can say that Williams are struggling. Surely that's a pattern.
Yeah, but, you know, last year they weren't struggling, were they? They were quite strong. So, I mean, this year, so far, we've seen a pattern. Yeah, but, I mean, at the front of the grid, no, there's no pattern in terms of who's going to win or anything like that. So it's just up in the air. But I think it will settle quicker than it settled last year.
All right, well, here's a question I like asking in our preview podcast. Who is this weekend most important for, John? Who really needs to get it going this week?
I think because there's no big development changes, because there's only a week over, there's no upgrade or not as many upgrades as there would be if there was a gap. You know, you have to see, I suppose it's important for McLaren just to see if they can do anything with that car that's going to get them near the front, but it's unlikely. I think it's important for I suppose just the Red Bulls to see how the two of them get on, and whether or not with some walls around as well near the main straight, seeing if either of them is going to try and take the other one out. So, you know, could be a bit
God,
of excitement.
We'd love that, wouldn't we?
Well, I think next time Sebastian Vettel goes in between Webber and a wall, he's going to find himself very quickly in a wall. But it'll be interesting to see who's kind of pushing their car forward. There's still a lot of development to do. There's still the main teams that are being consistent, but, you know, Williams, Sauber, they need to do something to try and, you know, regain the stuff that they've lost from last year.
In many ways, I agree with what John said, but specifically this weekend's most important for Mark Webber, not necessarily because of his relationship with Sebastian Vettel. I think he couldn't give two hoots about that now. He's come off of being effectively screwed over by his team in Malaysia, and then screwed over by his teammate in Malaysia, and then screwed over by his team in China, you know, a botched pit stop in the race, and then a complete fuel failure before that in qualifying. Mark Webber needs to get out and have a strong performance. He needs to finish podium, ideally, you know, top five, and he needs to qualify on the first couple of rows of the grid. That needs to happen for him just to so that this season doesn't become an albatross around his neck, really. That's what he needs to happen for him personally. You know, team be damned, he needs to get the feeling of being a solid racing driver under him again. And you need to bounce back after two losses, you know, and 3 weeks apart as well, you know. And although he was second in Malaysia, that's still a loss for him because he was first and he was supposed to finish first. So for him personally, I think this is going to be a very big weekend and he needs to have a strong performance.
The one I would go for is Fernando Alonso, and I think when we talk about there not being a pattern as yet, I think this could be a real chance for there to be a pattern and for him to really stamp his authority in his Ferrari. If he can pull out back-to-back wins, I think that sends out a pretty big signal. When you consider he was pretty unlucky, or the gamble failed at least, in Malaysia as well, and then you start thinking, well, that's three out of four races that they could have had very, very strong finishes in. I think that would send a message. It's a very good opportunity for Ferrari there. So, opportunity for Ferrari means we should obviously try and predict if it will come good or not for Ferrari or others or anyone.
Does that mean you want us to go to the prediction league?
I do indeed want us to go to the prediction league. What I should do first, of course, is go through where we are with the prediction league.
Do you know, Michael,
post-China?
I've been waiting for this since the checkered flag dropped.
I'm sure you have. We'll come to you in a moment, Ped, because we should get out the people who really struggled, like me, who predicted that Massa would be on the podium.
That didn't happen.
Red Bull would win.
That didn't happen.
That didn't happen, although I thought Seb was running quite well until obviously he had to pit again. Paul de Resta was going to finish in the top six. Again, I thought that was going to happen until, of course, he had to stop again. That one looked all over happening. And I gave myself a kudos point for saying that Paul de Resta would finish in the top six because I thought that was putting it out a bit. And it did look like happening.
Oh, I don't know, but he didn't finish in the top six.
No, I know he didn't. So. But
I suppose, you know, if he had finished, we'd have given you two kudos points.
Well, I'd have got a point.
One for picking Paul de Resta and one for top six.
I'd have got an actual point.
Well, all right, okay.
I got a blank. A
okay,
complete
we'll
blank.
Give you, we'll give you a
zero.
Kudos point. We'll give you a kudos
Zilcho. Point. Yeah. DT, he said that Vettel would finish. Vettel would take pole, which didn't happen.
No.
That Alonso would win,
which did happen.
Button would finish in the top four,
which didn't happen.
Which he was close to, but didn't happen. And Valtteri Bottas would finish in the points, which didn't happen. Although he finished ahead of
his teammate.
So a decent score for DT there. The Oracle back with a bang.
Wasn't he just the
first two things he said? Alonso win, Hamilton pole, bang.
I had a little Twitter chat with old Oracle while it was all rocking, and he actually said he wished he'd gone and put some cash down on that at the bookies.
Well,
he said
double.
He wished he'd gone. Yeah, a little accumulator thing.
You'd
going
have
on
had
there.
To avoided the other two, of course, which were Jules Bianchi finishing in getting to Q2 in qualifying.
Now that was
a bold
very
statement.
Bold. Does he get a kudos
he
point
did
for
get
that? Because that's
kudos
bold
point for that. In truth, he should probably get a kudos point for that and for Vettel DNF, which is a bit. But I've only given him the one.
No.
And obviously,
I think
Vettel
that's more wishful thinking on his part rather than a legitimate prediction.
It was the wrong Red Bull.
It was the wrong Red Bull.
But Mr.
Pet HD, you outshone Kyle with Alonso win, Mercedes on the front row of the grid, which Hamilton did, Raikkonen on the podium,
which happened,
and Massa technical DNF,
which didn't happen. But I've never been happier to be proved wrong on the prediction league, because I think Massa drove incredibly well and Ferrari did great, so I was very pleased that one didn't come to fruition.
Fair enough. Well, so the weekend you were the top scorer, but Kyle leads, the Oracle leads back where he belongs, top
damn
of the prediction
the
league. Followed by you, Ped. Then Jack Phillips is he's made the most of his one go. He's ahead of DT, and I went from top to bottom in the space of a weekend.
Oh, in one race!
So that pretty much sums up my prediction skills.
Painful.
I was doing quite well at the football predictions, so maybe I can only do one or the other. I can't do both. So we move onwards to Bahrain. I will get in Mr. DT first because he has emailed us in, obviously. He says that Fernando Alonso is going to win. In the top four will be Kimi and Vettel.
Mm-hmm.
Double points finish for McLaren.
I think you're clutching at straws there, DT.
That is a kudos point, I think.
I think that's
that.
A kudos
that
point.
That is a big call. Because Perez does not look like managing that.
Perez does not look like
neither does the car.
Anything. At the moment, Perez doesn't even look like he's getting into Q3. So I would say Perez is going out in Q2.
So, all right then, Ben, we'll come to your predictions first. Mr.
Oh, right.
Well,
that wasn't, that
is
wasn't
that
necessarily
one of
a prediction.
No?
That was just
right,
a conversation.
We'll cut the line there.
But
tell
no, I'm going to go with it as a prediction. I'm going to say that both McLarens are not going to get into Q3. Both McLarens will go out in Q2. That is my... I think a Button will be like the highest. I think he'll be at 11, but I think he's going to get pushed out. So that's my bold prediction. Much like DT, I'm going to have to go with Alonso as a winner. I think he's going to be he's won there twice before. He knows his way around that track, and he's got a car that can challenge. He's going to be very, very strong. I suppose I would say another podium for Kimi.
Love it.
That's what I'm going
Stick
for.
Stick with the theme.
Yeah, another podium for Kimi, Alonso to win, and both McLarens fail to make it to Q3.
I love it.
Okay,
John.
Predictions.
This is pressure because you know you're rusty. We've got to say that.
Thank you. I'm gonna go for Kimi for the win.
Ooh,
and
bold.
Alonso and Hamilton, the other two podium place. So it's not sure which way around.
Okay.
I'm going for Vettel for does not finish, and I get off. I think
it's got to be bold. The Vettel DNF, we didn't give the Oracle beer as a bold shout, did we?
We didn't, but he got one for his other prediction.
That's true. So I would say you need another kudos one in there.
I need a bold one. Okay. I'm going to say for both the Toro Rossos to be in to get to Q3.
Well, there'll be spaces because the McLarens won't be there, evidently. So they'll need someone to step up.
I'm going to go for them too.
It's not a bad shout, actually. It is a track that has a lot of straight lines, and we know the Toro Rosso performs well in a straight line. So, but that's a good shout, John.
I love it.
What about you, Michael?
It comes down to me then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think both Ferraris will be on the podium.
I like that.
Which is difficult when you think about the others, the other front runners. Yeah. I am struggling a bit. I'll be honest with you.
Michael Bailey, the Williams of the podcast.
Yeah, this is it. Well, Williams was what I was thinking about involving in my in that. Maybe I might nick DT's prediction from last week, and I will say Valtteri Bottas will score points this race.
That's a big bounce back for him, because I mean they both the Williams look poor.
But
you got that feeling?
I've just got a feeling that Bottas, he knows the track. This will probably be one of the first track he actually knows decently from... but I might be going out on a bit of a limb there. So that's that. And then what can I go for after that? Let's see, what could... I think Gutierrez will end up crashing out again. That's probably not my German prediction. I'm sticking with solid.
Yeah, dependable.
But Esteban Gutierrez will end up driving into another car or a wall.
One or the other.
Will be flailing carbon fibre.
Are we going to get some Twitter predictions from the Oracle? I mean, he probably knows we're going to ask him already, doesn't he?
Well,
he knows when we're going to
hear
it. He's got them all written out. He just hasn't pressed tweet yet because he hasn't had the car.
He needs to make sure he puts money on them this time.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he? We need to have a word with him. But yeah, we'll, I think we give a shout to the Oracle and get those tweeted in. So if you want to know if you want to know Kyle's predictions for the race, just keep following the EDP F1 Twitter
feed. Yeah, we'll get those in. And, of course, get yours in. We'd love to hear yours. We should probably have a fans prediction member. But if you want to predict who's going to win or off-the-wall predictions, then just tweet us at EDPF1 on Twitter. Get involved. I'm sure you have every chance of doing far better than us lot. All right then, gents, I think we'll wrap it up there. Bahrain is rapidly approaching. Hopefully it'll be rapidly exciting.
We
can't don't think it will.
No.
But you hope so, don't you? And I suppose what is nice with Bahrain is at least this time we are only talking about the Formula One. And there's not maybe the country itself has settled down a little bit to at least ensure we're not talking about civil unrest.
Well, it's still there, but it's not as this year. I think it's they've kind of got bored of that storyline in the Ultimate Reality Show, haven't they? You know, they've moved on, and Bernie's not making a big deal out of it, and so no one else is. I think it's just let's just enjoy the racing.
Enjoy the racing, and I have no doubt that the guys who are going out there to report on the race will be half an eye on the situation in the country, and at least in this way, maybe Formula One can be good and can cast some light on if there are continuing problems in Bahrain or not, whilst also talking about the racing. That would be good. John, Ped, thanks for joining me. You can get a hold of us all on Twitter, as you know by now, at Michael J. Bailey or at EDPF1. Ped?
At PedHD56.
And John?
At John Luton.
Brilliant. EDP24.co.uk for Lotus and Caterham news. Hopefully Lotus will do something special in Bahrain. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be great.
We shall see. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You may have already have done it. You can listen to it at EDP24.co.uk/F1podcast. All the information, all the archived episodes are all there. Have a listen, should you wish. Listen back to some of our terrible predictions just to see how funny they are. They're much better than this week's, obviously. That'll do it. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.